Hello, dumplings. Welcome to Let's Get Ugly, the podcast where we dive deep into the latest beauty, wellness, and lifestyle secrets that aren't always pretty, but always real.
We're your co-hosts, Trishna and Disha.
The sister duo keeping it 100% authentic, really silly, and sassy all at the same time.
So come join us and grab your favorite drink. Welcome to Let's Get Ugly.
Komal, welcome to Let's Get Ugly.
Hey.
We're actually so excited to have you here and to talk to you about your journey of being cross-continental.
I am so excited. I love talking about myself. That's literally my job. So thanks for having me.
I think it's so cool. Like, I've told everyone that you were at the White House for Diwali, which was so cool to see. And I also didn't know they did that. So that was also really interesting.
I know. Well, apparently the Biden-Harris administration were the first to really popularize the Diwali party. Because beforehand, the Obama administration did do it, but it wasn't a humongous event. And now they really source people from all industries, activism, beauty, whatever it is, to all come together. So it was great.
I mean, that's so cool. There is so much to talk about, and we will talk about that a little
later. I know,
later.
We have so much to get through.
We do.
But let's start with your cultural heritage.
Okay.
So obviously you are, well, not obviously, but you are American, but you are of Indian heritage. And we wanted to know how your cultural heritage influences the stories you tell and the content you share.
I think a lot of what I've built my following on and my content in general is personal. So when I started off, I was in a really dark place, and I kind of just wanted to share my personal stories of what happened to me growing up, and oh my God, can you believe someone said this to me? And obviously I grew up in Georgia, which is a very difficult place for a little round girl to grow up. Just sharing the stories that were super intimate to me, but without even realizing, it connected with so many people.
That's amazing. And I think that, like, growing up in a place where you feel out of place as well, even though it's home, is relatable for us and for a lot of people as well. Was there anyone who said something to you that really resonated with you at any point?
Like in a good way,
yeah,
growing up?
Yeah.
And a bad way.
And a bad way.
We're like good cop, bad cop, angel.
There was a lot of bad things people said to me, especially when I started social media. But like, we don't need to give them the time of day.
No.
But good things that resonated with me, I think genuinely people messaging me, and I would say like probably 60% of my following are brown girls, whether they're Indian, Pakistani, Arab. I have a huge brown girl following. I think what really resonates with me is even when I had like 10,000 followers, they'd be commenting and DMing me saying, oh my God, me too, me too. My parents moved from blank and now I live in Texas. Or everyone at school says this about me, they're saying that about me, and you go through the same thing. And I think what's really important, what I've done with my platform and storytelling, is bringing comedy to it. So I never sit down and I'm like, guys, this is what happened to me today. This is something racist that happened to me today. No, it's like, y'all won't believe what the F just happened. And I try to bring light to it. I mean, it's a horrible matter, but the only way we can really talk about it and feel comfortable is by bringing comedy to it.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, I feel like it's cool because you've been able to actually showcase your culture and your personality and your creativity. But how do you balance that? What do you think your fans like to see?
My fans like to see a bit of every... my fans are my friends. So that's how I think about it. And I feel like they like to see authenticity no matter what. So sometimes it's really easy on social media to get in the wraps of, oh, everyone else is making this really fancy aesthetic content and it's getting millions of views. But at the end of the day, that's not what people followed me for. They followed me to see the worst of the worst, like, you know, the bad days, the good days. The best way I bring authenticity is really just getting in a comfortable space and just turning on the camera and talking. Like, that's all I do. And anytime I feel like I'm losing that and I'm looking at other people's content too much and like losing that part of me, I can tell because my fans are not commenting, they're not resonating. So I just have to like go back to my room, turn on the camera, and I'm like, come on, just talk. Just talk, and you'll figure it out.
I think that's really, really amazing. I mean, especially, you know, being a woman of color, putting out your stories in a place like that. Has it been challenging, though, in the influencer landscape to kind of navigate your space? Because obviously, like, you aren't like the typical Instagram model vibe, like Molly May and that kind of a thing, which is great, by the way. We definitely need more diversity in this space. So I think, like, how has it been challenging for you?
I think it's gotten better over the years because I started TikTok right when it became a thing. Like 2019, I started posting on there. So over time, it has gotten better when it comes to DEI. But in general, there is huge gaps. Like, for example, the pay gap for influencers. There are influencers that make the exact same type of content as me that may have the exact same type of followers and engagement, but they are making like 5 times as much. So there are still huge gaps that we should keep talking about. And like same thing with like beauty influencers, right? Like we are always seeing brands come out with a shade range that just isn't inclusive. And it's like, okay, that's a huge gap that we still need to address in the influencer world. I think you just have to stand up for yourself and find a team of people that stand up for you and know your worth and know how much, you know, money you're worth and know what opportunities you're worth, and really having a team and friends and people around you that support you, because people are not going to want to open the door for you as much as your counterpart.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And I feel like it's really good to have that like self-driven ambition. Speaking of self-driven ambition, you literally moved from Georgia to London, which is massive.
How do you think it's influenced how you think about content, though? Because obviously, like, your personal life took a big shift, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But so did your content, I guess, because you got to pivot with the place that you're in.
Yeah. I think I started making a lot of more fashion content when I moved here. That was always something I wanted to do in Georgia. But an amazing thing the London influencer world has brought me is an inspiration to fashion. And I've loved buying unique pieces, and I've loved dressing what would be considered crazy in Georgia. And I think incorporating that into my content is something that would have never happened unless I moved here. And I'm so grateful for it because it's something I'm passionate about. And like, if you, like you guys, you know, you make videos for half of your living. And when you make videos, you have to be passionate about them or you're hating it, right? So I think that's something I've really liked that has changed since moving to the London influencer space.
Really great and super, super interesting. I mean, has fashion then given you a new gateway to connect with different kinds of people as well?
100%. And so like the first year and a half I was here, I was having a really hard time meeting and connecting with the influencers that are in the UK because I just didn't know them. I wasn't at any events, you know, it took me a while. But now that I'm like entering my third year into the UK, it's really nice. Like I have a creator community. I have friends that are at the same events as me. And it just feels so nice to have any type of support that are people in your own field.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like London's opening up new opportunities then? Is it very different and new to what the US was offering?
I would say London has its own opportunities that are different than the US. Like in the US, especially in cities like New York and LA, the opportunities are absolutely insane. My friends that have moved to these big cities in my same industry have just gone up and up and up and up in their career. But I think London in a different way has, it's not as fast paced, I would say, when it comes to opportunities.
Agree.
So yeah, so it is a bit different.
So interesting though. I guess it's all about adapting and then, you know, having this touch with the US still and going back there and kind of getting into it. But speaking of the US.
Yeah, so excited.
We're
like
both
buzzing about this.
Literally, like when I literally was like, oh my God, Trisha, I was like, Komal is at the White House for Diwali. And she was like, what? We know someone at the White House?
Oh yeah. My gosh. That's like how my whole family was too. Cause like I'm a first gen kid. So it was such a big deal for my family. Cause they're like, holy shit, we moved to America and somehow our daughter is now at the White House. Like it was such an accomplishment for my whole family, not just me.
I need to know firstly. Okay. So how does Mr. White House and Mr. President know how to get in touch with you, who you are? Like, Explain to us, like,
okay,
the invite.
Like, well, I need to make it clear I'm not a big fan of the sitting president at the moment. But what I am a big fan of is going into spaces that are really, really influential and important for brown women. And I had been working all year, just for fun, with Congressman Ro Khanna on kind of just helping him on a better way to connect with Gen Z and things Gen Z cares about when it comes to the war in the Middle East, when it comes to climate change, and really what young people genuinely care about when it comes to women's healthcare. So I had kind of just been working with him and his team. I don't know if you guys know this, but when I started influencing at like age 16, I actually started working in politics as well.
Oh.
So I was working at a nonprofit for quite a few years as well, like basically from age 16 to 20. And from that, I also had a lot of connections and I loved working in politics. It's something I'm super passionate about. Like, it affects all of our lives. Why wouldn't I? When I heard that the White House does a Diwali party, I was like, oh, I deserve that invite. Like, I'm getting that effing invite. I have worked in politics for so many years. I have ran so many campaigns. I work with congressmen. I do everything. I'm like, I need to be there.
Yeah.
So I like started hitting up like a lot of people I used to work with and like the congressman's team. And I was kind of just like, hey y'all, like remember when we worked together and I did all this stuff? No, I'm just kidding. But like genuinely, I was like, hey, I would love to go to the White House Diwali party. And soon enough, I got the invite and I was so excited. And actually my family, we were so hopeful for it that we had booked the ticket before the invite even came in.
Wow.
I know, because we were like, I'm going.
Manifesting.
I'm going. I love it. Like I'm in. I was like, you know what? If it doesn't work out, I'll still just go to the US. Like whatever, I'll see my grandparents. But when I got there, I actually met with some people on Kamala's communications team, these super sweet Indian girls. And they told me when they saw my name on the like list of, you know, people that have kind of been like put in as a request, they were like so ecstatic. Like they had been following me for years. And I was like, oh my gosh, like you never know who you're gonna impact with your audience. And they were like, yes, she's coming. And we got along amazing there.
Amazing, that's so cool.
Yeah.
What did it mean to you though, to be there?
It meant so much to me. Like, I feel like a lot of people thought, oh, I was giving up my morals by going. I was giving up blah, blah, blah by going. I was getting a lot of backlash. But at the end of the day, like, going to the White House was not about even the whole vanity of it. It was more like my parents immigrated here with absolutely nothing. And I'm able to not only go into this very important building and meet very important people, but I'm able to connect and finally network with Indian people, I mean, brown people from all over, right? About our culture. And I'm finally able to network and connect with them about things that are so important. Going into these spaces create a community vibe that in turn turns into organizing and connecting and starting campaigns. And I think that's what people don't realize. My biggest mission when I was going into the White House was to meet other activists that are my age, that are in my industry, that maybe live near me, etc. I just wanted to meet people, because when I go back to America, I want to organize. Like that, you have to start from the ground up when it comes to political organization. So that was my biggest mission there, was just to meet people so that I can later organize and like get back into political work and helping the community once I'm back.
Wow, that's so amazing. I mean, it looked super fun.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
You gotta run down the highlights. So like top three favorite moments from the event.
Let me think. There was this really funny like Indian grandma that was sitting on a bench. She maybe was probably the grandma of somebody who worked there, or I don't know. She saw me in my dress and in Hindi, she was like, you, stop there right now. And she was on FaceTime with her family in India. And she's like, turn around, turn around, turn around. And she's like making me randomly like pose for her family in India on FaceTime. It was so funny. But that was probably my like top funniest moment. And then another top moment was meeting the US Surgeon General, because my grandpa was a doctor in the Indian Army for his entire life. And meeting someone of that stature in America that's in the same field was just crazy. Like, because I know how that stuff works and it's just crazy. I think my third was honestly just the entire experience of meeting new people and networking. I just loved it so much. And like meeting like activists I've looked up to for years.
That was great.
Sounds amazing. It sounds like it was a night to remember forever.
Oh, 100%.
For sure.
I was going to move on to little snippets about your personal life, because okay. I do think that we all really love to see different types of creators, but not everybody loves to deep dive into their personal life, but you do.
Yeah.
And we're here for it. So I was going to ask, where is your line? How do you balance like talking about dating and relationships while balancing a public persona?
Well, that's been a tough one. I have found myself in quite the pickle sometimes online. You have to learn as you go, because there's been a lot of drama on the internet concerning my relationships. And I think people are really hard on influencers that share a lot. I remember when I was going through a breakup on the internet, there was another humongous influencer who made like kind of like a hate video against me. And she was like, it's so cringy when people like talk about their breakup with sad music in the background. I was like, sorry, last time I checked, this was not your account. This is my account. Mm. And so, like, I think people do get hard because it's like the more vulnerable you are, the more susceptible to people being a bitch you are. So I think that's been hard to navigate. And I have been trying to be a lot more private about my dating life while also telling stories. I kind of feel like I talk about my boyfriend like an anomaly, like my boyfriend, but like nobody, like I don't post him that much, like him, his actual person.
Yeah. Himself.
Yeah. So like, I think that's been a really good balance I found, which I didn't have, like I didn't know to do that in my life before. So I think that's been good. And trying to also talk about personal things like a month or 2 months after they happen is good. People are nosy as hell when you're very personal on the internet. They find out everything. Like they'll find out your aunt's brother's sister's address on the internet. So I think just finding a balance, yeah.
That sounds nuts. And then I remember, well, we were talking off camera about like obviously backlash from your ex-boyfriend as well, and just kind of going on the internet, which can make it a bit difficult as well, because you can't, obviously when you're halfway across the world, you can't really like control the narrative in that way as well.
All I'm gonna say about this is Taylor Swift once said, don't do bad things to me if you don't want bad songs written about you.
Ah,
and
I like that.
I take that too. Don't do bad shit to me and then be mad at me or surprised when I share stuff on the internet. And I always think if people knew the real grimy details, you guys would be proud of me that I didn't share everything and that I protected other people in the situation. My friends always say like, girl, if ever you, I would share all of this stuff. Like you're being too nice. The internet's a crazy place. You know what I mean?
It is. And sometimes it's those details are good to keep for yourself.
Yeah.
But if someone's kind of really comfortable with sharing their personal life online and they're building a persona that way, what is a piece of advice you would give them then?
I mean, it depends what you can handle, of course, because through the years, I've had to develop a really thick skin. But like, there are other creators that I follow and they literally will share their texts with their ex as they're fighting with them on the internet, knowing the people will see it. Like, those are the type of creators I like though, right? Because I'm like the same way. And obviously there's so much controversy surrounding that when you do that. There's gonna be a lot of people talking shit about you. Why are you doing that? Not you putting him on blast. But at the end of the day, you just have to decide how much can you take? Because it's your account, it's your business, it's your life. So people really have no say in what you should or shouldn't be able to talk about.
Fair enough. I think that's really valid. I was gonna say though, speaking of your content, it's obviously creative, it's super diverse in terms of the types of content you produce. Can you give us a little bit of an insight into how you plan? Because you gotta plan, right?
I really don't plan. Okay, I plan. So TikTok is my biggest platform, and for that one, surprisingly the least planning goes into it. I do not be planning at all. Like, genuinely, for my TikTok, it's all about authenticity. So if I have an idea in my head right now, I will take out my camera, film it, post it. Like, there's not really much planning. The most when it comes to planning is, okay, if I'm gonna go on a trip and I wanna make very specific TikToks on that trip, or, oh, I'm going to this certain place, I wanna make very specific audio at that place. That's the most type of planning I will do. But at the end of the day, every day I just wake up and I'm like, throughout the day, if I have a random thought, I'm like, oh, let me make a TikTok about that right now. And then I just post it, which I'm lucky to have it be able to be that way, because I know a lot of people, there's a lot of planning that goes into it. And obviously there's editing, but that's an aftermath. Planning in general is pretty minimal for TikTok, but then for YouTube, that's a platform I'm really trying to grow. So for YouTube, I put like oh my God, like probably like 10 hours plus a week towards YouTube, and I'm not even monetized on there. So like, I'm just, you know, like putting my heart and soul into that. And then for Snapchat, a little bit of planning goes in, and Instagram a little bit, but still, like, those are still just like fun platforms. People that over plan their content, it's just not for me because I like to have fun with it. My audience are my friends. Like, I don't even like calling them fans. Like, they're my friends. Fans seems like too like formal. Disconnected for me. Like, I don't like that. So I just try to keep authentic and real. Like, if I'm in bed and I think of an idea, I'm in bed and I tell you the idea.
I love that. I love that. And you can really see that come across in your content. But I guess it kind of begs the question, because obviously you put so much effort into it. How do you still have fun, though? Because it's like, it's a lot.
It can hit really personally when it's not doing as well. But you just have to let yourself take a little break. If there is a week where I'm just not feeling it, I'm feeling super unmotivated to speak and be myself on camera, I usually like posting like once or twice a day. But I'll take maybe a day break and then try to make content that only has to do with an audio. So something I don't have to speak, like maybe I'll edit myself putting on an outfit and put a little song behind it or something like that. So I think giving yourself like content breaks is good.
Do people ever get like mad at you for not sharing enough? Does that happen? The internet's a dangerous place in general, you know? Like sometimes people are very accusatory of like you either, they're either unhappy that you share too much information or they're unhappy because you have done something, whether it's positive or negative, it's also none of their business at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes people are like, oh, you know, usually it's like, oh, you're oversharing. But sometimes are they like, oh, you're not telling us enough or you're hiding something? Or
both. Like people will always be like, girl, this is embarrassing. You're oversharing. I get that all the time. I don't give a fuck. Like, girl, go find somebody else's page that's blander than me. Bye. And then if people are like mad that I'm not saying enough, I don't know. Like people do, like they will be like, girl, can you tell us the full story about blank? Can you tell us the full story about blank? But I don't think people get genuinely mad at me for not sharing enough because I do share a lot in comparison to some other creators. And I am pretty open about my personal life and like my mental health and et cetera. So
I love that. I love that.
Definitely. I mean, we were saying off camera that like you would be a great influencer consultant because honestly, like the advice is really
spot on.
Thanks.
I think when people say authenticity, but then they spend a lot of time planning, then it isn't really truly authentic. But this is literally like I get an idea and I just get on with it. But yeah, it takes a lot of courage. That's for sure.
I think this is why we get on so well. Because it's like, I had this idea and then I just did it.
And then you just did it. Yeah, I literally, that was like, for me, when I moved to London, I was like, I have an idea to move to Europe. And then I just did it.
I love
just
that. Love that.
which I love so much. I mean, like talking about you, which we're loving doing, we wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit about the future as well, because you've just been starting to do a radio show, which is so exciting. And then you were thinking of writing a book the other day, and like have been writing that, and you have a podcast, like you have so much going on. Looking ahead, what are some of the goals or milestones that you want to hit?
I always tell people I want to do everything all the time, so I don't know what to ever focus on. Like, I just want to do everything all the time. So my goals are to be a famous author, to get into modeling, be a famous TV show host. Like, I want to be on The View.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I want to do everything. Like, I want to be successful in every little leeway because I just am passionate about entertainment in general. I feel like I can imagine myself becoming 10 million different things, and I'm kind of just letting any opportunity that comes my way, I just full send it. I'm like, yeah. About the book, the other day I was sitting at a cafe and I was like, huh, I kind of want to write a book. And then I just spent like 11 hours or something at the cafe writing the book. Obviously, I didn't finish a book, but like that just like, if I want something, I'll just start doing it and just hope for the best and cross my fingers. So I think my goals are kind of all over the place. I just want to feel fulfilled in one of my many passions.
And speaking of feeling fulfilled, if there was one thing that you could recommend to somebody and your friends, not your fans, what would you say to them? What's that one message that you want them to take away from you and your content?
Be yourself. I know everyone, that's so cliche. Everyone says that, but actually just be yourself. It's so boring. I hate boring people. I can clock a boring person from a mile away. I'm like, you're not being yourself. Like, you're toning it down like 10 million. Like, no. like start being yourself, but like genuinely. That's all I hope for, that everyone's just not boring and everyone just starts being themselves.
Amazing.
That'd be a very fun world.
Yeah. Or it could be overwhelming. You know.
Yeah.
You never know.
So we are getting into our beauty segment now, because obviously we do a lot of, we love, collectively love beauty. But we just have three quick fire questions for you that we're asking everyone this season. So firstly, going to ask you, what's one beauty rule you love breaking?
I never use contour. I know everyone uses contour or bronzer. I never use either of those things. I've just never gotten into it. I've never bought it, so I've just never done it. And I low-key wish I did, because everyone looks so good with it on, but I just don't. I do a full face of makeup with no contour or bronzer.
Interesting. Which,
or highlight, actually.
Oh.
On that, yeah, highlight too. Never use it.
But to be honest, you have great bone structure.
But
like,
that's
really what we use it for. It's to chisel out features, but yours are very, very prominent. Your cheekbones are...
Oh my God, thanks.
They slay.
I get it from my mom. My mom is literally beauty queen. I love her. She's gorgeous.
Oh my God, I love
like,
that.
I hope.
So cute.
I hope I have her features.
Oh my gosh, no, that is so sweet. Also, because like when you said it, I was shocked. I was like, I can't even tell, because it's just your bone structure.
Oh,
you're just
blank.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. If you could give your younger self a piece of beauty advice, what would it be?
I don't know. I actually didn't start wearing makeup until I was like 17, like face makeup.
Okay.
So I always put on mascara. Maybe I would tell myself to at least add a little blush, girl. Because when I was like growing up, even when I was like 14, 13, 15, I kept only putting on mascara and like maybe a little blush, but like it just looked off balance. Like I needed something to balance it out. The first time I ever used concealer, it was on my prom day.
Wow.
When I was like 17. So I think like adding some balance to my face would have been good, because I just look kind of weird sometimes.
Fair enough, fair enough.
We all have those moments.
For sure. Yeah.
So what's a beauty moment, good or bad, that you'll never forget on yourself?
Very recently, I have eczema and my concealer has been like peeling off my face like I'm a snake, like genuinely peeling. And I didn't realize I was going around looking like this for like 2 weeks straight, the past 2 weeks, until I was editing one of my vlogs and I got really up close to the camera and I was like, I was like, holy shit, there's no way. And then I looked in the mirror and lo and behold, my concealer was like peeling off my face. So I started, I went on Reddit and I was like, what are y'all doing?
Reddit. I love Reddit.
I know, Reddit has all the good advice, and they told me to put Aquaphor under my eyes before doing my makeup, and I think it looks better today. I don't know. I haven't seen up close.
But. I mean, it does.
It, no, it does.
The
it
lighting spotlights everything,
oh,
so it looks great.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
Trish, I could talk about Reddit for 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love Reddit.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you love about it?
Just the honesty, the fact that I can get all my answers, no matter how weird the question.
Right?
And, yeah, I mean, the other day I was on Reddit reading, are Erica Jane and Yolanda friends anymore?
Who is that?
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Okay. I'm not a Real Housewives person.
I am.
Even though it's really famous in my city.
I was going to say, I was like, hello, Atlanta?
But a lot of them, I know where they all live. Like, it's a big talk of the town where all the housewives and stuff live. Like, oh, that one lives there, that one lives there. So I know where they live. I just don't know anything about them.
So next time we make a trip to America, I'm going to make sure you're there, and I'd like you to take me on tour, please.
I'll take you on a tour to all the houses.
She's going
to
show us like the whole city and be like, this based off of the housewives only, and like, this is where they go. So you're going to have to do pre-research.
Yeah. No, yeah. Don't worry. In Georgia, like, everyone kind of knows where everyone lives. It's kind of creepy. Like, I know where like all the celebrities and stuff live too.
Oh.
I think it's just like a known thing, right? Like, I don't know.
Is it?
Well, a lot of the celebrities in Atlanta don't live in Atlanta. They live like, I'm not gonna dox them. Like, they live like a little bit outside of Atlanta, which is where my parents just moved to, because it's much more quieter and it's not as racist, because I grew up even more of the outskirts. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Learning a lot today. But before we finally wrap up with you, we have our card reading segment.
Oh my God. What is this? I don't know.
So these are oracle cards. They are beauty themed. And the whole idea is we ask a question to the cards about your, basically like your day ahead of you.
I'm scared.
And then it'll give us an answer. Maybe it'll be good news about your dissertation.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Oh. Are you in dissertation season now?
In my life, I literally or in like this past year, I've been like so focused on like, okay, what am I gonna do after uni that I have been forgetting to think about uni. Also, I just booked an appointment with a psychic for the first time in my life.
Ooh.
For next Wednesday. So this is giving psychic.
Ooh, I love it. Well,
it's giving prelude.
Feeling this one.
I was liking that color too.
Mm-hmm. Follow your path.
Thank God. Thank God. Because I just finalized in my brain that I was going to move to New York like as of 2 days ago. So.
Okay.
I was kind of just bullshitting.
And this is actually a big directional card for you. So it's basically that you know you're going in the right direction. So whatever you're doing is working.
Wait, this is the best thing I could have gotten. Because even to the psychic, I was like, I need clarity on my path. Wow.
There you have it.
You have it.
Wow.
You have
thank you
it.
So much. Komal, thank you so much for joining us today. Your journey and insights have been so inspiring, and we've absolutely loved having you on here.
Thank you so much for having me. I've had so much fun talking to you guys.
Yeah, your journey is absolutely incredible, and I hope to see you follow through your path.
Oh my God, yay! I'm so excited. Thanks so much for having me on.
Amazing.
Thank you.